If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Did you ever want it?
Let it
Welcome to Big Little Shrine, the official first episode of our brand new podcast talking about all things Big Little Lies, the officially unofficial Big Little Lies podcast. I'm Hannah.
I'm Brendan.
I'm Rebecca.
Now, you may notice this has come down your Shrine of Duty feed again, and we apologise, but there's absolutely no excuse. We just don't have our shit together. We were meant to send a teaser trailer off to Apple because they need to approve all the audio, so you can't just put up a podcast that says mad stuff on their platform.
Even though that is what we do.
Yes, we didn't do that in time.
No.
Because everything with this has been like severely 11th hour decisions being made. We still don't have a theme song. Brendan is trying to persuade me and Rebecca that he's going to sing it for us, and it's going to be his rendition of It's Cold Little Heart.
Cold Little Heart, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did we think? Big Little Lies is back with a bang.
Fantastic first episode.
Yeah, I loved it.
I wanted more by the end. You know, the gift that everyone puts up of Madeline in the car being like, I need more. That's how I felt when the credits rolled at the end.
It surpassed every single expectation I had. And actually, speaking of Cold Little Heart, they did change the opening sequence a little bit. But will I tell you what I did?
Go on.
What did you do?
So I had a real long day. I've had a mad week, right? There's loads going on. Rebecca knows because she's sick of me going on about it beside her in work, right? So I think it was like midnight that I got to sit down the other night, had my chocolate, had my cup of tea, was on the couch, locked everyone out, door locked. Everything.
She actually locked the door in her house so no one would come in
locked
during the show.
You barricaded yourself into the sitting room.
We don't do that, but I was like, this is the moment I've been looking forward to. I can't believe it's back. Meryl. Right, sit down, download it off Sky Atlantic, wait for it to download, fast through a couple of the ads, watch the whole thing. Then in my head, I'm making notes, right? And I'm like, God, It's an unusual decision that they didn't update any of the opening sequence. I'm like, that's unusual that they're all still doing the dance from Trivia Night. Watch the first couple of scenes. I'm like, okay. Sure, I'm watching season one episode seven.
Stop. And you probably had the chocolate eaten by then.
I was raging. I just watched the first 15 minutes of the old one thinking it was new. Yeah.
She put the wrong episode on.
I put the wrong episode
on. She was frazzled. She's very busy.
How long did it take you to realise?
A while. Because Madeline was getting into the car and I was like, God, her and Ed are getting on great. And I was like, no one really looks like they've aged a day. And then I was like, this is the fucking wrong episode.
Jesus.
Watch all the ads again. I had to.
Fuming.
But anyway, yeah, they have updated it. The kids look older. They're still doing the kiss into the camera thing, which I like.
Yeah.
Guys, can we reenact that opening scene?
On a night out.
Yeah, you go up, then Hannah goes up, then I go up.
Yeah. How long has it been? Like, how much of a gap has there been?
2 years.
Yeah, February 2017 is when the first season premiered. So 7 weeks after that. So March 2017 and we're June 2019 now. So over 2 years.
Yeah.
Ziggy's got new hair. Cute.
Yeah, he seems so much older.
James got new hair. I love it. she's getting abuse on social media.
Not sold on it. No,
it wouldn't be my cup of tea.
I think she's got the most beautiful face.
I think she's so stunning. A fantastic actress.
Not there for the fringe.
I just think that the fringe just takes away from her natural beauty. It's just too busy.
Guys, just before we get into Brendan's fabulous recap, should we have a chat about our social media and what's going on there and the plan going forward?
Yeah.
Because we changed a few things during the week.
We did.
So when we started out this podcast, it was called Shrine of Duty and it was completely dedicated to Line of Duty. We had an absolute ball. We didn't want to stop doing it. So we decided to come back and do another show. But then we were like really confused about how to work the social media. Because we were like, what if we want to do another show after this? Are we going to end up with 75 Twitter accounts? Like,
yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, we can't be doing all that. It's a lot to manage.
I don't have my shit together as it is. So what we've decided to do is keep all the social media. We're going to be only going off that. You may have noticed we've changed the name. So we're at Shrine Pod on all social. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be using those platforms to talk about the show that we're currently watching. Now, this being very presumptuous that we ever do another show, but say we go on to do one. So at the moment, all our Twitter, all our Facebook and all our Instagram is Big Little Shrine.
Yeah.
But even though this episode is coming down the Shrine of Duty feed on iTunes, it's not going to do that forever. We are going to set up a totally separate feed. So if you know, enjoy this and you're watching this show, you can hop over and follow us on Big Little Shrine, which is available on Spotify now because they're super fast and really quick. No offense,
Very Apple, efficient.
At getting their shit together and approving us. And from next week on Apple Podcasts will be Big Little Shrine. Now, that's all of the important grown-up stuff I had to say,
it just means
that
if you like Line of Duty, you can still follow that and that'll come back whenever. And if you want to come and follow Big Little Shrine for
if you
want
to come to Monterey with us, you move over, you subscribe to that stream.
So we will spam you with Big Little Lies on social, regardless of whether you like it or not, but that's tough because it's one of the best shows on TV, so get with it. However, in your feeds on audio, you will have a choice whether you want to listen to this or not, and the choice is yes, because Meryl Streep, Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon are in a TV show together. So
Yeah.
Okay, great, Brendan.
I'm glad we cleared that all up because it is a bit confusing. And we are obviously as well, when we set out and we started the podcast, we just did it for the crack with Line of Duty and we didn't think anyone was going to listen. And then we love doing it so much. We love chatting to each other in the dark in a room every week. So we just decided to go with a different show and we hope that you guys come with us.
Yeah. But like, if you're not into Big Little Lies, then we're not going to piss you off. We're going to
exactly.
be on a different channel.
Exactly. Yeah. Brendan, give it to us.
Okay.
Season 2, Episode 1. We're in Monterey.
We are. So, Episode 1 of Season 2 opens with pictures of each of the Monterey Five, as they're now known, glaring across the beach. We see flashbacks of the fundraiser night with a little more detail about what happened than we first saw. We see Celeste and Perry having a baby scan. Perry's got a massive cut on his face. Jane is also at the scan. That confused me an awful lot. The scene cuts. The scene cuts. Meryl, Mary Louise, wakes Celeste. The opening moments of the episode we've been watching, Celeste's nightmare. Do you know what? Because I had to watch it twice. And it was only on the second watch. Because I went, oh my God, they had IVF. And oh my God, Jane worked in the hospital. Maybe they knew each other from years ago. Like, watching too much Line of Duty, lads.
Yeah, that's
definitely.
What happens when you watch too much Line of Duty. But also, it's that mark on his face is like... Why is she remembering him with the mark on his face?
I think that's to show us how far back the abuse went. So if we came into season one and the kids are six, it was showing us that she'd already been through 6 years of that maybe. And it's a very frank way to remind you straight away, in what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Mary Louise is Perry's mother, played by Meryl, the icon. She's moved in with Celeste to help with the boys. She says that Celeste said the word rape in her sleep. Now, can we put an asterisk beside that again?
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll come back to that at the very end. So everyone's off to their first day of the new school term. So we're, what should we say, 2 years ahead of where we last were. Yeah?
Yeah. But it's only set a year after the event. Or the school year after.
This is the next school year.
The school year.
It's a school year.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. Okay,
we're 2 years older. They're not.
They're not. Okay, great. Mary Louise is in the car with Celeste driving the twins to school. And she tells the twins to behave with their mother because they're just acting up the whole time. And Celeste can't really cope. Mary Louise is like, behave for your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just interrupt here?
Yeah.
And say, That's Celeste getting out of the bed and putting on an absolutely stunning coat and going up to do the school run in her pajamas within 4 seconds of waking up and looking like an angel.
Yeah.
It's just something to...
I wouldn't know what I'd be wearing if I was dropping the kids off to school. A dressing gown and like curry stained pajamas.
And they woke up late on their first day. So yeah, you're definitely not going to...
Someone did one of those like iconic articles that's like, where all the looks from Big Little Lies, season 2, episode 1. And that coat was like €1,700 and she
just lashed it on.
So all the girls are kind of driving at the same time to school. Madeline's in the car with Ed. She's in a tizzy telling Ed that moms get judged all over again at the start of a new school year. Has she gotten fatter? Does she look older?
I loved that line.
Yeah, they're all the stresses that she's got in her mind. Now, Madeline has got a job in real estate.
Very
apt. Delighted
about this. She's loving it.
Oh, selling Sunset, here we come.
Yeah, raking in the dollar bills. She doesn't know why she hasn't done it before now. So we did ask that question last week, didn't we? Like what did she do?
Yeah.
We asked where her money was coming from. So she had a part-time job with the theatre.
Yeah.
Joe's Theatre, who put on Avenue Q. But we were like, where is the money coming from?
Also, sorry, can I ask one more question? And it's about season one. Like, keep up. before Perry was killed.
Yeah.
The steps up to the school were sealed off anyway. Why was that?
I don't think we ever found out, but in my head, I've just resolved that as a nice character beat to show that Madeline doesn't really give a fuck about things and just marched underneath that regardless.
Okay.
I think they were they doing like repairs on
them? So yeah, I kind of just passed it off as they made that decision to prove a point about her character maybe.
Okay, getcha. So 4 of the Monterey 5 all gather outside the school while the kids go in and hug. Bonnie stands on the fringes. Principal Warren hosts a welcoming assembly and gets everyone to sing this silly song about Otter Bay. Afterwards, Madeline walks with purpose across the schoolyard. She comments on Warren's service. He says it's an assembly and that a service is like a funeral.
Dressed as an otter.
And then he makes a comment about the fundraiser. He's like, you know, like a service is like what you'd have for a funeral after the fundraiser, which obviously gets Madeline's back up completely. Another parent offers around cupcakes and Madeline suggests Warren can shove one of them up his hole.
Like, I love the shade that she's thrown him.
He's the patience of a saint, doesn't he? Because he can just take it all. He's like, oh, lovely Madeline, great to see you back.
He doesn't miss a beat, turns around and goes, are they gluten free?
Like you asking if they're vegan.
I know. Oh, I had a vegetarian sausage roll earlier. I was starving. Renata warns...
Like, people are going to think we're sponsored by vegetarian sausage rolls.
I wish. Call us.
It wasn't the best one now, to be honest. Renata warns the new school teacher that Amabella was bullied and that he better look out for her.
Oh, that was... No, I was obsessed with that. And also when she said that Amabella was at genius level.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
At this point, we see that Bonnie is basically miserable and withdrawn. They've been away for the summer, but the break hasn't done her the world of good at all. If not, she's worse. Madeline drives Celeste to go and get coffee. Another driver pulls out in front of her when they're driving on the way. Madeline sits on the horn so long that Celeste has to remind her to stop. And she just turns around and goes, oh, you know me, once I lean in.
She's up to 90, isn't she?
Like, go, constantly.
Also, gorgeous new coffee shop.
Yeah, lovely.
They're knocking them out of the park, the spots in
it
Monterey.
It looks very nice. I like the look of it. Think it looks great. I saw that Madeline got a chocolate muffin. But where's the other coffee shop? And where's your man?
Yeah, I liked your man.
Yeah, so did I. And I liked that coffee shop.
And I thought Tom and Jane were going to get it on. And that's
so
just... That's just an asterisk.
So they get to this new coffee shop and who's sitting there having coffee outside? Only... Meryl herself, Mary Louise. So they get there. Celeste pops off to the loo and Madeline is looking for a table and sees Mary Louise sitting there. Mary Louise tells Madeline in no uncertain terms that she doesn't like her.
Very subtle.
You're very short. I find little people to be very untrustworthy.
I took offence to that.
The battle lines are drawn.
Like, I took serious offence to that. I'm very short.
She goes, you're very short. I don't mean it in a negative way. Maybe I do. I find little people to be very untrustworthy.
Untrustworthy. And then I also, you know, when they first meet her, she's like, I can't complain. She's like, Madeline's like, how are you? She's like, I can't complain. Actually, I can. My son is dead.
like the right.
And she says, I'm tempted to ask for the truth, but you know, basically,
I don't think
you
he'll
would,
give me that.
Yeah, I don't think he'll give me that. Oh. So Celeste comes back, and she's just like, "What the hell was that about?" And they head off. Ed, meanwhile, is in the grocery store, and literally,
no, that scene, shopping for melons, and he found a pair.
He literally bumps into someone. I mean, are we supposed to know who she is?
Totally,
no?
It's Joe's.
She's
wife.
Joe's wife, Joseph's wife, that Reese Witherspoon, Madeline, had the affair with from the theatre.
Oh my God, it is.
She's got her tits done.
Yeah,
to distract you from the nose, Brandon.
Yeah. Yes.
You were a bit too distracted.
I was, clearly. Yeah, because she's like, oh yeah, I was always very... he said, oh, I didn't recognise you. She said, I have my breasts done. I was always very conscious. And he said, about your chest. No, my nose. Now people don't notice.
I'm sorry, poor Red. He's actually getting it left, right and centre in this show,
isn't
he?
Yeah.
Like... But then he's a snide fuck.
Now, she looks
time.
Great. A
she looks beautiful.
She looks fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Asterix on that. There's going to be murder
Watch
from her
that
this
space.
Season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Celeste goes to see her counsellor for the first time in quite a while, tells her about the nightmare she's been having. The counsellor says, even in death, Perry is a prick. I'm paraphrasing there. Suggests that Celeste needs to get a new man. Rev mentioned last week that Jane will have a new love interest this season.
According to an article I read online, yes.
That's him.
I think she's working with him in the aquarium.
She is. He's an aspiring marine biologist.
Yeah, who's but got all the detail when the kids asked some questions and she couldn't answer.
And I didn't like when he went up to her on the beach and
now
said, are you one
on
of
the beach?
Them?
Yeah.
Oh, I said, sit back there, love.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's his work cut out from. His name is Douglas Smith, played by... Corey Brockfield, played by Douglas Smith.
Nathan asks Ed to talk to Bonnie about her just being weird and off.
Watch that space as well, my love.
Oh, Nathan's massively.
Nathan?
So Nathan says to Ed, he said something along the lines of, oh, you know, you and Bonnie get on, basically.
Yeah, maybe you could talk
they get
to her.
On.
Maybe she trusts you.
Mm.
I've no time for Nathan.
And then Ed says to Nathan, like, you've got a problem if you need me to sort out your ex-wife and your current wife.
But remember he was checking out Bonnie when she was singing that gorgeous song at
Trivia
Night.
Oh, and he went to yoga. He went to her yoga studio. But I'm
doing
sorry.
Doing the damn word dog.
Who asks their ex-wife's new husband who you hate to go and talk to your current wife? Like, it is the strangest. Like, it's believable, but I don't get Nathan at all.
And then he says, you're being a snide little fuck. And he's like, I'm not being an intentionally snide little fuck. He said, but you are.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in one of the most glamorous scenes of this episode, Renata is at home, poolside, having a glamorous photo shoot for Women in Business.
Diana Ross, it's my house.
Her miming, it's my house. In that suit that you told me cost how much?
Apparently, I've read online it cost $7,000.
Oh, when it looks it.
Do you know what? It's worth every penny.
Yeah.
Oh, to be a woman in power, that shoot. Now, I would buy that magazine. I'd frame that on my wall.
Absolutely.
Renata looks fantastic.
She does.
I listened to Diana Ross, It's My House, over and over again while I was doing all these notes. So that's the kind of humour I'm bringing
to the playlist.
That's the mood I'm bringing to the podcast.
Phenomenal.
The soundtrack is
out of this world. And we'll get to more about that later on in the episode.
Oh, go on.
I don't really have any juice, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Apparently Rob the Bank is involved in something to do with the soundtrack.
Curating it or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Meanwhile, Madeline walks into her real estate office to find Mary Louise inquiring about a house in the area.
Oh, she's not going anywhere. She means business.
Yeah.
Round two, ding ding.
Yeah, she's going to hang around. So basically, she says she wants to help Celeste, but, you know, just get out from under her hair. But, you know, obviously if she's going to rent somewhere or buy somewhere, it means she's coming out from under Celeste's feet, but she's going to stay in Monterey.
Oh, she's taken over the town.
She's investigating.
Yeah.
So Mary Louise, they have a bit more of a ding ding round two, but Mary Louise apologises for the cutting coffee comments and says that she had an ex-friend that was short, literally short in height.
She was just an itty bitty little thing with big bumbly personality that was designed to hide that she was utterly vapid inside. You remind me so much of her. I suppose I punished you for that. That's wrong of me and I apologise.
Like,
this is some of the best writing I've ever read.
And then the best writing delivered by, like, the way that Meryl spits words sometimes. She's just like, It's amazing.
Scathing.
I'm putting asterisks on that. I have a fun fact for later on.
Brilliant.
I think I do as well.
I have a few we may be crossing over.
Yeah, I feel like you and me all week have been like, I have something to tell you. Oh, we'll wait till we're recording.
Abigail throws a strop and tells Madeline and Nathan that she's not going to college at all, ever, not happening. Jane meets the co-worker / love interest surfing on the beach. He says to her, oh, you're one of the Monterey Five, aren't you? She runs off, meets the others in a car, and has a little debrief. So she's now freaking out. Jane's freaking out that they're known as the Monterey Five, that everyone's talking about them.
And
talking
about
them.
And he was really rude on the beach.
So rude on the beach.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Like, he interrupted her dancing and he was like, that's weird. And then basically called her a murderer and then ran into the sea.
The Monterey Five sounds like a Netflix series that we'd all love to watch.
Totally.
Yeah.
So they're discussing being the Monterey Five in the car. And Renata says that she knows a woman who's riding a police officer that told her that the police officer told her that the case is closed. Well, not closed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Madeline calls to see Nathan and Bonnie's house.
Stunning house.
If I could really live cute. In any house ever that I've ever seen in my entire life. It's
like
that.
A sanctuary, a wooden sanctuary.
Yeah. I want to be Zoe Kravitz. I want to look like her and I want to live in her house.
It
just
looks
don't
like
want
it smells of incense.
Incense. Candles
calmness.
Lit. Sage everywhere.
Yeah.
Chakras aligned.
It's probably a bit too pungent for me.
Gorgeous food in the frame. Well, you wouldn't want to be in my house. Honestly, the incense. You can't see yourself with the smoke, Brendan, but it keeps me very calm.
Very good. Namaste. So Bonnie steps out of the front of the house while Nathan and Abigail are inside, and basically, like, Madeline's like, are you okay? And she's like, no, I'm stressed out of my head. Like, if we just said in the first place that what happened and it was an accident, I would have got away with, you know,
she would have got manslaughter and 11 months in prison.
Yeah.
And they said it at the end of season one.
Reduced service. Is that even?
Of course they would.
But
they've been money for days.
She is like, the guilt is seeping out of her pores.
Yeah,
she's crippled to it at this stage.
Yeah, so she thinks that she would have got away with self-defense and that it would all be over by now.
Yeah.
That she's like, yeah, I've cut myself off from my husband, from my friends, from everyone. Madeline then goes, Nathan kind of comes out then and interrupts them. So Madeline goes inside and she wants to have a word with Abigail about the fact that she doesn't want to go to college. And Abigail says she wants to help the homeless. to which Madeline replies, I don't give a fuck about the homeless.
And then she's like, that's not what I meant.
I have the quote, will I do
yeah,
it?
Yeah, please.
I don't give a fuck. I don't care about the fucking homeless people. And then she's like, that's not what I meant. I do care about homeless people. I just think that you can give money to some charity while you actually attend college. Twitter blew up.
Yeah.
So basically it transpires that she tells Abigail that she's going to college because Madeline never did. She's like, I want you to have something that I didn't have. And she's like, well, it's not happening. Jane and Celeste meanwhile go for a glass of wine in a bar that looks really nice.
I'd say you get a nice potatoes bravas there.
Yeah, it's kind of like real indoorsy, outdoorsy fire pit.
Everyone had an individual fire pit.
Yeah.
Never in 400 years will we have something like that in Ireland. Imagine the red tape and the guards
and the weather.
And everyone being involved in the weather. We just, oh my God, it was the coolest thing ever, wasn't it?
Yeah. So they're having their glass of vino and Celeste asks Jane why she hasn't been cashing the checks. So Celeste has obviously been writing checks for Jane. Jane says, because it's rape money. Celeste says, Ziggy is Perry's blood and is entitled to it. Jane then asks Celeste if she hates her for sleeping with her husband, to which Celeste reminds her that she was raped. Bonnie goes for a walk very close to a police station.
Yeah,
very close.
Kind of having a look in.
Turned away
around.
Quickly when someone came out.
Yeah.
Dodge.
Yeah,
she's a woman on the edge.
And the other women don't seem to get that. Because if she goes and talks, they're all screwed for lying then. That's preventing the course of justice.
Yeah,
they're in bigger trouble.
So they kind of really need to make sure she's okay. And they don't seem to be getting that at all.
They should be supporting her more than they are.
Entirely. They've completely moved on. And while I think they're dealing with it subconsciously, like Madeline is clearly not okay.
No.
She doesn't get it at all with Bonnie, I don't think.
But Bonnie saved Celeste's life.
Absolutely.
Like, she did.
Yeah.
But she also murdered someone and they're the only other people that she can speak to about it.
Also, yeah, like, and we have all been saying, and everyone's saying, like, murder, murder, murder. Like, it wasn't premeditated. It wasn't planned. She didn't, like, I don't think she meant to kill him. She shoved him.
She was trying to just get him away from her.
Yeah.
And I don't think she had a choice because Celeste was going to be killed.
Yeah. So I think regardless, she would never have been done for murder. It wouldn't be classified as murder.
No.
It would be manslaughter or a homicide or, you know, self-defense.
Yeah.
Also, do you remember last week you said about her grabbing her throat?
Yeah.
I wonder, from rewatching it again, is that just maybe there's nothing in the past, and is it just because I think when he fell on the steps, like you said, I think he broke his neck and there was a bone poking out.
Was she
just like grabbing her throat for that reason?
Potentially, but both of her parents are coming into this season. So Martin and Elizabeth Howard, they're going to be played by Martin Donovan, who's in Weeds, and a new actress called Crystal Fox. And I just do not think they'd bring them in unless she has some sort of relevant backstory.
Fair enough. Celeste is having another nightmare. In it, the Monterey Five are standing in a police station the night the killing happened, and Perry walks in to take part in an identity parade. And I was singing it straight away. From Chicago.
It coming. Yeah, and your tweet did very well, Brendan, on the live tweets.
That song's been in my head all week since you
loved it. And just all of them dressed up, you know, as, oh my God.
Audrey Hepburn.
And what holding their one, two, three, four.
They're what an iconic image. It was so brilliant, good. Wasn't it? Totally interrupted you, but they kept putting that out as the image for season two.
Yes.
And I was like, they didn't bring those women down to a police station and line them up, did they? So that's obviously where it came from.
So good. Celeste wakes from the latest nightmare with Mary Louise standing over her.
Terrifying.
Season 2, Episode 1 of Big Little Lies closes with Mary Louise asking her daughter-in-law, "So, who are we killing?"
Oh, I just got chills.
And that feeds back into, so I have a little theory.
Oh.
Tell us, Brendan, I'm all ears.
I suppose we're officially into the mini thoughts and theories segment. Going to be nothing like what we have to try and do for Line of Duty, but just little fun bits.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, now, when I say theory, use the term loosely. I think it's possible that Mary Louise isn't hearing Celeste say these words, but she's just telling her that she's heard them to see what she'll get out of her.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
You mentioned rape. Oh, you said you're killing someone. And she, just to rattle her and basically get her to confess. Because she obviously has a gut and a mother's intuition and kind of, you know, thinks that he was murdered.
Yeah.
And so she's just going to press all the buttons and say that Celeste has been saying these things in her sleep when maybe she hasn't heard her. Or maybe she did hear her.
No, Brendan, that's absolutely brilliant. And I think, to be honest with you, she knows her son. She's so adamant that her son didn't die accidentally because he's her son. She brought him up. She knows what he's like. I don't think he hid his tendencies, his aggressive, violent tendencies from her. Also, her husband, Perry's father, isn't in the picture, so... You know, is it something that she experienced with him? And she's putting two and two together and she's like, I know my son is a violent man, yet he's the one not here. That did not happen by accident.
And over the dinner table, when she was talking to the twins and Celeste, And, you know, she's saying, if I could have anything, I just want my son back.
My Perry, she kept saying, my Perry. Yeah. And can we all please talk about her scream? Okay. And the Emmy Award goes to, I'm sorry, the
it's
scream.
The scream. Do we want to go through some favourite moments? I have like a little list of mine if you want to think of yours. So I already mentioned one. It's Celeste getting out of bed and throwing on that coat and going to the school looking better than I will on my wedding day. Renata dancing to Diana Ross in my house during the photo shoot.
That's not even my favourite scene. That is one of my favourite TV moments of all time.
She looked like Wonder Woman. Jane dancing on the beach. I really liked that. And I was like, I wish that I could feel that free to do something like that, and maybe I just will. So if you see me upstairs dancing on the balcony, just leave me alone. And then obviously building up to, I swear to God, I'm not sure if this is the reaction you're meant to have. I had tears in my eyes, the fucking scream.
The scream.
I just didn't expect it. And it's so like she's 69 years of age. Like it was so loud. And then it's Nicole Kidman's reaction to it. She's,
did you see the shot of one of the kids?
And the kids, they're like, what's going on?
Well, my favorite part is obviously the scream, but it's the memes afterwards. Like someone remixed Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper's Shallow, and then there's Meryl screaming. Like there's another one of Madonna's Ray of Light, you know, and it's like, and I feel like a like the memes around the scream were just absolutely iconic. But Meryl, like every single, what's the word, every single note of that scream, you could feel it. You could feel that grief coming out of her. But she's unhinged as well.
She's like, unhinged.
I don't know what to make of her character. I'm like, okay, she's trying to be nice. I know she's like a woman on the mission, but there just seems to be so many layers to her.
She makes me feel really unsettled.
I feel so unsettled.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You don't know how to read her. And you know, it's exactly like Perry. She's the most powerful person in every room that she walks into. And I think what she wants to happen will happen. What she say goes. And it's a bit like we're all at the, what's the word, the feet of Meryl in this series.
And she's liable to do or say anything.
She can do anything.
Anything. Like she honestly, if someone turned around next week and says to me, oh, Mary Louise murdered four of the Monterey Five, I'd be like, oh, I believe it.
Guys, do you want to know the best thing I learned this week? I'm actually like giddy to tell you this. Maybe this is common knowledge, but I did
I
not
didn't
know
it either.
Do you know what I'm about to say?
Are we talking about someone's name?
So this is the so basically, right, I'll go back for a little second. We'll just build up to this in case no one knows. Meryl joined the cast without reading one word of the script, right? She described season one as the greatest thing on TV, according to it, and in an interview with the Hollywood Reporter, and she signed up for it straight away because the role was created for her by the original author of the book, so Leanne Moriarty, and writer David E. Kelly. And the role was created for her so specifically because Meryl Streep's actual name is Mary Louise.
Did not know that.
So Leanne was brought back for season two to write the plot
line. She wrote
line.
A novella.
Yeah, novella for it. So within her 200-page novella, she almost sent a telepathic message to Meryl by creating a character called Mary Louise.
With her, yeah, it's Mary Louise Streep. Meryl is the stage name.
The glamour.
Guys, are you going
to? Do you want
to
know something else?
Yes, yeah. I think I know what it
now,
is.
So basically I was like having a look on Twitter because I was looking for different theories, like just to get the gist of what the different moments that people really loved so much. And some fans reckon that Big Little Lies actually shares a cinematic universe.
With what?
With Mamma Mia.
Okay, go on.
Okay, so it all started, right, on Monday or Sunday, whatever day, wherever you live. Someone called Molly tweeted, I can't remember her handle, we will credit her. She tweeted and she wrote, if Meryl Streep's son is Alexander Skarsgård, I believe we finally have the answer to who the real dad is in Mamma Mia. Okay.
I'm screaming.
So bring it back to Mamma Mia for a second. So Meryl played Donna in Mamma Mia. Her daughter Sophie, played by Amanda Seyfried, she's getting married and she's trying to find out who her real dad is because she wants him to walk her down the aisle on her big day. She invites three men from her mum Donna's past to come to Greece to find out, like, you know, if they're her dad. And one of them is Bill Anderson, played by Stellan Skarsgård, who is Alexander Skarsgård's dad. Alexander Skarsgård, a.k.a. Perry, a.k.a. Mary Louise's son.
Oh my God. So that's so good.
I know.
I love that.
So basically, like, loads of fans now who are obsessed with Mamma Mia and obsessed with Big Little Lies reckon that Sophie and Perry are siblings somewhere within this universe, and Big Little Lies and Mamma Mia. It's a lot to take in.
It is a lot.
One thing is in Greece and in Santorini, they're dancing around. You know what I mean? They're singing ABBA. And then this is here. We're in Monterey and we're listening to Sinead O'Connor. Honor, do you know what I mean?
But yeah. Leon Listen, Bridges. Well, I tell you something.
I loved it. I love that theory.
Nicole Kidman had a brief fling. Well, not brief. Now, went on for nearly 2 years with Lenny Kravitz. So she's in the Monterey Five with Zoe Kravitz, who plays Bonnie. And in 2003, going into 2004, she was sleeping with her dad.
I love Lenny Kravitz. He's so fabulous.
Now, all I ever think of is that huge scarf.
Yeah, do you remember when that went viral? Yeah, guys, I have something really brilliant to tell you. Sit back. Was that your big news?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm really glad that you didn't see this then. Okay, you ready for this? Meryl is wearing fake teeth in this
scene.
Some eagle-eyed viewers spotted it. They are designed and based on Alexander Skarsgård's actual teeth. According to Page Six, an attendee... Sorry, listen to how Big Little Lies this is. According to Page Six, an attendee at the Big Little Lies HBO after party was overheard saying Meryl asked to wear the teeth to more resemble her on-screen son. So Page Six investigated this. An executive for the show then confirmed, yes, they were 100% fashioned and inspired by Alexander Skarsgård's teeth.
I love it.
It was Meryl's brilliant idea. Also, apparently Meryl sipped martinis and danced to Lizzo that whole night at the after party for the launch. Amazing. Back to the teeth. Not only did she come up with the idea, but she also told no one that she was having them made. So Cosmopolitan investigated this. So they spoke with Catherine Newton, who plays Abigail Carlson, so Madeline's daughter on Big Little Lies. She was doing a profile with the magazine, and she dropped what they're calling a tooth bomb. And she said, I was blown away by her dedication as an actor. She made the teeth for the role. But that's not all. She got them made. Like, she didn't ask anybody. She just did it.
Up
on day one and stood across from Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon and everyone else with the teeth in and said nothing.
But there's like, something about Meryl.
Did Meryl just like phone up Alexander Skarsgård on the side? Like, here, dude, can I get a
give
mold
me your dental
of your teeth?
Records.
Well, yes, Brendan, that is actually what happened. If Meryl Streep rang me up and was like, can I have a follicle of your hair? I'm like, absolutely, you tell me where you want it to go, do what you want. So please, if you're listening, what you need to do, two things. You need to look at Meryl Streep, then Meryl Streep in this. You need to do a side by side. Then you need to look at Meryl in this. So Mary Louise Wright and Perry and the fucking teeth.
We need to get next week's guest is an orthodontist. Honestly,
I did cop from the start that she'd fake teeth in, but I have no idea about the weird story.
I thought she was
just
holding her mouth differently, but wait till you see the photos. They're his teeth. It's absolutely like, of all the elements that she could take from him in season one, I'm obsessed. I thought she went off and did it off her own back. Like,
she's like,
I've had a great idea.
Shove his teeth in me, gob. Come here. Apparently, now I don't know if this is true or not. You know the first leaked still that we got like about a year ago of Reese Witherspoon chucking the ice cream at Meryl? Apparently that scene's been cut.
Because I saw someone tweet it being like, only a few hours until we see one of the most iconic scenes, and it wasn't there.
Now, I don't know who knows this and how they know it, but apparently it's been cut.
But I wonder if we'll see it later if Mary Louise pisses off Madeline even more.
I think it needs to build for a little while. I didn't expect to see it in this.
Yeah.
In the first one.
What do we think about Ed and Bonnie? Ed and... what's the girl's name?
Tori.
If like
Joseph's wife.
There's something's gonna happen.
Ed's having an affair this season.
So guys,
I'm adamant.
We don't have a trailer for next week's episode, but we do have the title and a brief synopsis, which is on IMDb. So next week's episode is going to be called Telltale Hearts.
Okay.
Or is it Tell Take? I'm not sure.
No,
if
it's Telltale Heart.
Telltale Heart, sorry, I have a typo. And the synopsis reads, Renata faces an uncertain future when Gordon lands in legal trouble.
Sorry, Gordon was in bits in this episode.
Gordon was drinking in a dark room playing with trains by himself.
like a pass
while she was out singing Diana Ross.
Being glamorous.
It's my house.
Yeah, I think he spent all the money. I think he's lost all
he
the money.
He cannot deal with a powerful woman. I don't
know.
No,
I think he's lost all the money and she's there doing a women in power thing and then he's lost it all and it's all going to come crashing down because in one of the trailers there was a brief clip of Renata in another gorgeous red suit in a courtroom.
Yes, you said that last
week.
So
I just wonder now what's gone on there. Sorry. And then the rest of the synopsis says, Celeste opens up to Mary Louise about her relationship with Perry and Ed confronts Madeline about her secrets. So it seems Tori may have spilled the tea to Ed about her husband and his wife's affair last
season. I have a prediction. Totally could be wrong. I think Ed is going to have maybe not a full affair, but like nearly an affair. So like get to a situation like with a very vulnerable Bonnie,
yep,
or with a very, I don't know what the word is to use for Tori. Like she is out to ruin her own life now because she's so angry at Joe. I don't even know why she's still in the marriage. She literally got her boobs done to piss him off. So I think Ed is going to get into a situation, not go through with it because he's steady Eddie. He's a good guy. Go straight home and tell Madeline, be so, so sorry. And she's going to crumble because she was the one that had the full on affair.
I think that Ed and Bonnie are going to go for lunch and they're going to become very close, mm-hmm, and Bonnie is going to tell Ed what she did and what happened that night, and I think that could be the secret he might confront Madeline with.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
I would like them to bomb chicken wah wah, but I don't think, I think it could be, and then maybe Tori's going to play a bigger role.
I think so. I don't think they brought her back with a bang like that. for no reason. I think she's coming back into
it. Do you know when you see something before you see, like, I didn't even know where they were or what. All I saw were breasts. I was like, oh my God.
I loved it so much.
Oh,
do you want,
brilliant,
like, I just have a page of, like, really small little random fun facts. We've gone through some of them when we go through the rest.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we went through that Nicole Kidman, like, dated Zoe Kravitz's.
Guys, Lenny Kravitz, though, like,
dad.
Honestly,
his
voice is like velvet. Like, so many amazing
very
songs.
Stunning.
I'll Be Waiting. Like, oh, I'll Be Waiting. Such a great song. Like, how could you not go out with them?
Seriously. So, you know, Otter Bay Elementary has gotten a new teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So his name is Mo McRae. The teacher's actual name in the show is Michael Perkins, right? And I thought this was so funny. So according to Cosmopolitan, he plays the second grade teacher and he causes Renata's, or will cause in an upcoming episode, Renata's daughter to have a panic attack after a lesson on global warming.
Oh my god. Like, he is not going to hear the end of that.
Isn't that the best?
You'd quit.
Also, will we have a little chat about the salaries? I know what every single one of them is earning for this show.
The actual actors. Well, obviously Meryl's on more than anyone put together.
Deserved. Give them all the money.
Okay. Nicole Kidman was getting 275,000. Now, this is in pounds, so not euros or dollars.
An episode.
Pounds per episode.
Yeah.
While Reese was getting 200,000 pounds per episode for season one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's jumped. They're both on the same now. What do you think it is, Rebecca? It's jumped now.
500,000.
No, Brendan.
400,000.
No, they're getting 785,000 pounds per episode for season two.
Because they're acting, for just acting or acting and producing?
That, it just says that's the paycheck per,
right,
episode. So I'd imagine the whole shebang.
Yeah.
Shailene and Jane are getting, no, Shailene is Jane. Shailene and Laura Dern are getting 400,000 pounds per episode,
yeah,
for season two. Zoe Kravitz is getting 335,000 pounds for season two. And Meryl is getting, came straight in at 628,000 pounds per episode for season two. It's juice, isn't it?
Mm.
I feel like I shouldn't know what they're earning, but I'm glad that I do. Also, want to talk to you really quickly about the detective who is basically on these guys. Detective Adrian Quinlan. She was in that whole episode,
yeah,
flicking a lighter.
Oh, did you see her from behind some of the shots, the reflection in that weird mirror, mm-hmm, that you caught? You know, when you're in an interview room. I never have been, but I always think someone's going to cough.
You know when you're in an interview, yeah, room.
I did a market research before and someone coughed from the other side and I was like,
Oh
God, there's someone
exciting.
Watching us. I know, it's terrifying.
So I read this last week on Wikipedia, but I didn't believe it, so I didn't want to say it. Remember we were speaking about the binoculars? It's the last scene.
The binoculars.
Yeah,
I'll be watching
one,
you.
The binocs. Now, I thought that was Meryl Streep had hired a private detective. And it was going to come back into season two. That's who I thought that was.
Yeah.
That has now been officially confirmed as police detective Adrian Quinlan. that was her with the binoculars, because if you watch that episode with subtitles on, it comes up that Lyder clicks and Lyder unclicks during that beach scene.
Okay.
So
oh my.
She's there.
I'm sorry, did you notice that?
Yeah, I did, but I
you
just
heard
second
a Lyder
guessed
click.
Myself. Yeah, you can hear it when you watch it back. Rebecca, I've watched that episode 4 times now. My sister came out for dinner last week. I watched it again.
Oh,
I've watched
God.
It 5 times.
I'm very unobservant.
So this is an article from The Ringer. I actually don't have the author's name, so I'm really sorry about that. But she brings up some interesting questions, so I thought I would put them to you.
Mm-hmm.
So the more we see of Quinn and the more questions I have, the author writes, why is she so investigated in cracking what seems to be a basic case of self-defense, women against men, as a female detective? Now, maybe I shouldn't even be bringing gender into this, but it does seem a bit unusual. Like when Nicole Kidman was in that police room at the end of season one, she's clearly black and blue. She's battered. So I'm just a bit like, why is that woman so quick to presume that she's lying?
Yeah.
Maybe there's more to the story, though.
I think there is. And what is the nature?
Like, Madeline does rub people up the wrong way. Like, there's a chance that she could have a connection to something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, guys, yeah, I'd be watching her. And then the clicking with the lighter. Is it a nervous tick? Is it a side effect of a stressful job? Is it restless hands? Or is it something more sinister? She is a character to watch. There's something going on with her.
Oh, as in, like, arson at some point?
Don't know.
Oh
just putting
God.
It
I would
out.
Have just thought it's just a detective just clicking a lighter. Yeah, now that you've said it though, you put it in my head.
But there's a
I
reason why
have...
she's been so, they keep, like she is very much lurking in the background.
I'm just showing Rebecca and Brendan Exhibit A.
Exhibit A. Document one in your folders.
Document one in your folders. It is the screen grab of the end of season one with the subtitles on, and we can see a lighter clicks. So that is her with the binocs.
So do think going into episode two and for the rest of the season that the ones to watch, as in the ones who could make it all go tits up, are Mary Louise,
Bonnie.
Ed, Bonnie.
And Detective Quinlan, now I'm adding to the list.
Yeah.
She's out for blood for some strange
They're
reason.
They're the ones that could...
Or Warren, the principal.
Oh, curveball from Rev.
Yeah.
I feel,
what he said to Madeline.
Yeah, I feel like that was, you know, a suspicious tone he took. She's not being very nice to him. I would just wonder, you know...
I mean, is there CCTV? Do they not have cameras on that school?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a really good point. But maybe
surely if they did, though, the police would have got that scene.
Maybe that's why the yellow tape was there, Brendan, to show us that no one was meant to be using that stairs.
Yeah.
And because no one was using that stairs, it wasn't an area within CCTV.
Yeah.
I have one more question for you guys and one suspicion that I'm putting out there. Madeline and the multiple cupcakes, and straight after the multiple cupcakes, going to the coffee shop and getting a chocolate
muffin.
Bun.
Look great.
It looks gorgeous. Eat what you want. I don't stop
She's
eating.
She's stress eating.
Is she stress eating?
I would imagine.
Is she pregnant?
Yeah, I thought pregnant when you...
The first thing I saw, she keeps up appearances. She got out of the car. She talked about, oh, have I got fat over the summer? Oh, have I got fat?
Yeah.
And then grabs 2 muffins, one for each thigh. Now, it could just be she's stress eating. It's to add on to the Madeline up to 90 thing. I would be shocked if she's not pregnant with Ed's baby, inverted commas.
Oh! Mm. Yeah, because I just don't know if her and Ed have been, you know, intimate.
Well,
you know?
Just that one time in the utility room.
But
and I
really
swear,
through,
I bet you, right?
Excuse me?
I don't think it really went. Didn't the daughter interrupt them? I don't
My
think it like
goodness,
went ahead.
That term rephrasing.
I don't think it went ahead. Do you know
No,
what I mean?
I think they got interrupted and then they went again.
I wasn't sure, Brendan. We'll go back and check.
They didn't go again.
I thought it was just over.
They went to go in the kitchen and then she said, you do whatever it was you're pretending not to do. And he said, come on into the utility room.
Oh my God.
Oh my
well,
goodness.
I bet you, right, if she is pregnant, I have a feeling it's Joe's. And I have a feeling she will find out and then she will be being very nice towards Ed because she'll need to rack up a few notches on that bedpost to convince him that kid is his. That is my theory.
Right.
Well, watch that space. I mean, Hannah said at first, I didn't notice that at all. I literally thought she was hungry and I was like, that's me.
Oh,
give
straight
me the
up me milling a Bourneville, like literally the family sized ones. But no, that just,
they
because
do
it's not
put
something
that in
she did
for
last,
a reason. Yeah. And
it's
it was
not something she did last
It was
season.
In the first few scenes kind of in a row as well. It was like, how could you, you know what I mean? It's
and
like
it's
another
right
muffin.
After she mentioned keeping up appearances and mentioned weight and straight away sees a muffin and she's like, give it to me. And then he asks, is it gluten free? It's like, you're really meant to notice it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Guys, do you have anything else to add for that now?
I don't know. Soundtrack is phenomenal.
It is, yeah.
A website called popbuzz.com have put a list of all the songs in the first episode. So Jane dances to Sufjan Stevens' Mystery of Love, which is in Call Me By Your Name.
Pronunciation of that first word,
I never can say his name.
You nailed it. That's what I'm saying.
So loads of fans love that they put that song in because it shows that like Ziggy and Jane are into Call Me By Your Name because that was a huge song in the soundtrack.
That was really cool, them dancing to that. Like, I just want to be like her.
Jane seems to be coping okay. Also, one thing that we didn't say earlier was that she's living in a new apartment.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
Yeah, but she's got the new job, I think, and stuff. So things are looking up for her while they're going downhill for Madeline.
And she's obviously
Renata.
Not as broke as she was in the first series because she doesn't need, or well, not
well,
that she doesn't
she
need,
was
but she's
afraid
not
of
taken.
Is gone.
I found the scenes of Celeste, like, you know, the flashbacks almost of her relationship with Perry, like, they were very, very sad.
Very sad. And I also wonder, though, are some of them exaggerated because when she went to see the counsellor, she sees herself as the monster. So I don't know if what she's recalling
happened.
It does do a good job of showing, though, that even when someone is violent, like she says she misses him in this episode and stuff. Like she still really loves him. He's the father of her children. They have a lot of history together. So it just shows how complicated your feelings are.
I really missed Amabella in this episode. I didn't see her at all.
No, we didn't
really get much of the kid. I love Madeline's child as well.
Chloe?
Yeah.
Unbelievable taste in music that she has. Also, last week when I was looking up like Big Little Lies videos and stuff like that, I saw that loads of drag queens from Drag Race that like I am obsessed with threw a party called Amabella's Party. And like I can't, and I'm dying now to throw an Amabella party. We also did a really gas poll on Twitter. Hannah put this up the other day, and it was: would you choose to, if you had to go to Amabella's party or go to Disney on Ice?
We were being giddy, and Rebecca was telling me about the drag queens, and I was like, let's just put up a poll and see. And
what you thought?
84% of people would rather go to Disney on Ice with Madeline and the Champagne Flutes and
the Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac in the back of the limo. With only 16% choosing to go to Amabella's birthday
Poor
party.
Amabella. Now, but see, I don't think that's a slight on Amabella. It's a slight on her mother.
No, but I'm going to put a spatter in the works after seeing the photo shoot with Diana, like to the Diana Ross song.
I mean, we may need to go to Amabella's birthday party next year.
Pop in on the way home.
Okay, guys, that is it for tonight's Big Little Shrine. Thanks a million for listening in. Not as always, from now we are actually on Twitter and on Instagram at Shrine Pod, where we will be talking all things Big Little Lies for the next 7 weeks. We will be setting up our Big Little Shrine, very specific feed coming next week. So at the moment, this is coming to you down your Shrine of Duty feed. But if you want to keep listening to our Big Little Lies content, give it a couple of days and then you are searching for Big Little Shrine where you get your podcasts. Currently available on Spotify. We're just waiting for Apple, but we will update you on Twitter. We will be back on Monday night when one of us, maybe me or Rebecca, because Brendan took the reins last week, will be live tweeting.
Yes.
From Monterey.
I'm going to have a wine.
Yeah, I think I'll have to have a wine as well. Some Leon Bridges before it starts. So I'm really in the Californian mood. Might wear like something from The Gap.
Oh, I really want to get a nice, like a silk dressing gown. I feel like Celeste is one of them, you know, in the cupboard.
Yeah, I might wear some like something knit. Like I just want to be Zoe Kravitz, so I'll do that. I'll have the incense on. Who are you, Brendan?
Renata.
You can be Renata, in the pair.
I actually
outfit.
Have a silk. Is it a kimono?
Yeah,
do you know who you could be?
A friend of mine gave that to me because I was a bridesman. I was a bridesman for the first time in my life last year, and you know, I was like got a few nice little gifts, and one of them was a royal blue, like almost navy kind of silk kimono.
That sounds beautiful.
So
do you
I'll
know
pop
what?
That on, pour a glass of Savvy B, and I'm ready.
If that falls through, Brendan, you could always pop to the shop, get yourself 2 melons, shove them up your top, and be Tory.
Well, on that note.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.